of the scriptures given to us this Sunday relate to the shepherd and the shepherd of the sheep, and specifically in the gospel to Jesus as the good shepherd, not the hired hand, but the shepherd who willingly lays down his life for the sheep. I'm going to read that gospel again. This is from John 10, starting in verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will leave the sheep because they aren't his, and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he is merely hired and has no real concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me, just as my Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep too that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Those of you who have been here a while have heard me preach before on the 23rd Psalm, and I'm not going to do that exactly today. If you'd like to hear a full exposition of the 23rd Psalm, I know there's a tape available. But I would like to look at a couple of the things that are spoken of in this psalm and that Jesus speaks of in the 10th chapter of John, and reflect on them first as it specifically relates to me as a pastor, which is another word really for shepherd, and pastor of this congregation, and what that means to me personally in my life. And then, because I don't particularly think that sermons ought to be about the pastor, I want to apply that to all of us and to all of our walks. Now, there are a couple of things going on here which are pretty extraordinary, which are spoken of and alluded to by David, who wrote this psalm. Remember David, the one who slew Goliath with a slingshot? That slingshot was something he used to protect the sheep of which he was a shepherd against wolves and other predators that might come and attack the sheep. So his skill was developed not in preparation for going to war with the Philistines, but in protecting his sheep and practicing to protect those sheep. And that's what a shepherd does. The shepherd leads the sheep to where there is green pasture. The shepherd's not the pasture. He's not the food that the sheep receive, but he leads them to it. And it's often the case that when one particular pasture has been grazed to its fullest, even overgrazed, that the shepherd then must lead those sheep to a new pasture. And when he does that, a real Middle Eastern shepherd will often gather up some of the grass, some of that which the sheep feed on in the current pasture, into like a large sheet. Gather it into the middle, tie it up, knot it, and even put it on the end of his staff. This is the picture that you see sometimes of hobos in the olden days with a stick and a little bag hanging on the end. The shepherd would do just that. And what would be in that bag hanging on the end is grass. And very often the shepherd would have to lead the flock through a very dry, rocky, and dangerous place to get from one verdant pasture, now grazed, to another one yet ungrazed. And sometimes that journey would be long enough that there was nothing to eat on the way. There might be something to drink from a stream that went through the rocks, but often would not be enough for all of the sheep to eat. And so the shepherd would carry extra fodder, extra food, grass, with him in that sheep tied up and on the end of his staff. Actually, on the end of his staff. And then when they were in a rocky place, he would open that up, and lay it down, spread it out, and then the sheep would come and eat from what was there. That was called a table. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. So even though they are in a very rocky place, and there might be predators around, an inhospitable, frightening place for the sheep on their own, with the shepherd there with them, they are nevertheless fed. Though they are in a difficult, frightening, dangerous place, otherwise without food, the shepherd prepared a table for them. Not a wooden table, but that cloth which he spread out, the word for that in Hebrew means table, for that cloth with that grass on it. It's often the case in the life of a pastor of a congregation that the whole congregation, and generally more commonly individuals or families, will find themselves in that transition from one rich place, one hopes, to another rich place, but going through a place which is rocky and without food and filled with great danger. And the responsibility of a pastor in circumstances like that is to help guide the sheep, not meant in any demeaning way whatsoever, the beloved, to help guide the beloved from the time when everything seemed really good and full and rich and positive, life seemed like the goodness of it would never end, and then it does, and things become very difficult and frightening, and even sometimes literally without food. And the role of a pastor then is to help through that rocky place to verdant pasture on the other side. Now, very often that verdant pasture on the other side means a new way of looking at life, a new way of understanding who God is, a new way of hearing the gospel, sometimes a new job, sometimes an entirely new career, completely rethought, sometimes the setting aside of things that originally got us into trouble, that caused us to be in the rocky place. And maybe we're blaming everybody else and we think of ourselves as victims, but very often there were decisions that we made along the way which landed us in that rocky place. And so again, the job of the pastor often is to help not make those same kinds of decisions going forward. And sometimes that verdant pasture on the other side is heaven itself. One of the great blessings, and for those of you who have not experienced this, and I know many of you have, it doesn't sound like a blessing, but it is. One of the great blessings of life is to be with someone as they die. And it sounds creepy and awful, and it is anything but. It's a privilege. It's one of the most blessed experiences of life. It's one of the wonderful things about hospice and chaplains who serve as hospice chaplains is you get to do that all the time. And you get to see how the Lord meets people as they enter that transition from this life to the next. So the job of a shepherd is very often to help lead folks from one part of life to another part of life through the rocky portion in between, the rocky portion without food. And very often it is also to help extricate them from the difficulties they have gotten themselves into in trying to solve that problem and solving it badly with bad decisions. And the image that I use for this sometimes is it's easy for a sheep to get lost looking for new pasture, rich green grass, and wandering off from the flock in pursuit of that dream and wandering into the brambles. Because if you look at the way brambles grow, they come up on a stalk and then they spread out, and very often there's grass growing under them. And it's typical for a sheep to nibble its way in. And it doesn't feel those thorns as they begin to go into its flesh as it pushes in, until it's in far enough that as it tries to back out, it can't. It is entrapped by the brambles. All of those needles are dug into its flesh, and it not only cannot extricate itself, the pain that it experiences as it tries to back up is great enough that it stops and stays frozen right where it is. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The staff is that long pole with a hook on the top of it that you often see a bishop walk with. That's the staff. The rod is a shillelagh. You know that word? Good Irish word, a shillelagh. It's a piece of wood about that long, very thick on one end, thinner on the other. It's held on the thinner end, and it's used for beating enemies. And so if a wolf attacks, if it's far enough away, you could use your slingshot, but if it's close in among the sheep and it's in there trying to take one down, the shepherd, not the hired hand, the shepherd runs when the wolf comes. The shepherd wades in with that rod and begins to beat the enemy to death with it. A true shepherd never uses that rod on the sheep. That rod is for the enemy. For the enemy. The staff is for the sheep. So the rod gives the sheep comfort because they know that it is intended to beat the enemy down, to beat the enemy off. The staff gives comfort because it's that which the shepherd uses to extricate the sheep from the brambles. Or if he's fallen over a cliff, to reach down, hook it underneath in between his legs, and lift him all the way up. That's what that's for. That's what that crook is there for. That's why they give comfort to the sheep. One is to protect, the other is to save, to retrieve, if you would. And so a shepherd has a specific role to guide the sheep through difficult times, to rescue them from difficult circumstances, and even to give counsel so that they don't wander into the brambles again. And setting image aside and just talking explicitly, I can tell you that time and again there are folks in this congregation, in other congregations where I've been, where the brambles may have been obvious to me, but they were not obvious to the person nibbling in. And it was my role and even my privilege to go in and extricate. And almost without exception, I would always try to say, those were brambles. Try not to do this again. Here's how to recognize them. Those decisions that you made that got you there, if you make those decisions again, you'll be there again. Don't make those same decisions. Make these decisions instead. And time and again, some of the same folks make the same decisions and wander into the same brambles again. This shouldn't be a surprise to anybody, I suppose. But, in fact, when I describe a sheep like that who continually wanders into the same brambles and makes the same errors, the very first person I think of is me. Anybody else identify with that one? Anybody not identify with that one? Just testing here. All right. Now, for as long as I can remember in my life, well, let me say this first. There are a couple of things that I know and understand really well. One of them is I'm a sinner. I'm a sinful man. I have no question at all about that. I give myself evidence of it every day. I know that it's true. I also know that I'm a sinner saved by grace and not through any works of my own, or I'd be boasting. And I have nothing to boast about. I'm a sinful man. And I believe that that awareness, not only is it vital to me and to my existence, it's vital to anyone who would be a shepherd, is an awareness of our own sinfulness. Because failing that, we do damage. Without that realization, we do damage to all those we would propose to shepherd. The other thing that I know about me, about George, is that there is a gift which I've had for my whole life, for as long as I can remember. I didn't even recognize that it was a gift for a really long time, or identify it in that way, or even think about it in that way. And that gift is this, that when I look at individuals, I see simultaneously not only who they are and where they are right now, I see them in the fullness of what God intended for them. I don't know how else to put it. I see the blossom, not just the bud. I see them completed and fulfilled. I see them in the most verdant pasture, if you would. Even though the pasture they may be in now is grazed down to the ground, and there's rocks in between here and where they might someday be. What I see simultaneously is who they are and where they are and what God intends for them, the fullness that He intends for them. And I've always seen that when I looked at people. And as some of you have heard me say, my mother has said about me, George always collects peculiar people. And it's been true of me since I was little. I always collected peculiar people. And what does that say about you, I guess? And the reason is because what other people saw as peculiar in a negative way, I saw as special and blessed by God. And I saw an intention that God had for them that nobody else gave a hang about. Other people look at them and just go, oh, what a weird guy. Or what a weird woman. What a weird girl. What a nerd, or geek, or whatever word they used at the time. All of this marginalizing adjectives, these marginalizing adjectives that would just set people aside, outside of the clique, outside of the circle of the people who were really cool. And so folks who are peculiar, and I actually believe that people who are really cool are in the category and just don't know it yet. People who are peculiar, when I look at them, I just see God's desire for them. And that makes it very easy to love them and to love them toward what it is that God desires for them. And to stick with them even when they keep going back into the brambles over and over and over and over and over again. And I have to use that staff over and over and over and over and over again. And occasionally I have to pull out the rod and beat off some of the enemies that have gathered around because they've spotted them caught in the brambles. And the enemy looks for people caught in the brambles because they're easy pickings. And so as a pastor, as a shepherd of these beloved. It is simply enormous privilege for me to wake up each day and know that I get to do this. I can't think of anything I'd rather do. I can't think of anything more fun. Even in the most difficult circumstances, there is great joy in it. Even in the most difficult and trying circumstances, there's a joy which seems to be without cause and without explanation. Peace that passes understanding, if you would. It doesn't make sense to be with someone in horrible, difficult circumstances and still have a peace and a joy about the privilege of being there with them. Now, what I believe is that this body of Christ, this congregation which the Lord has assembled, is filled with shepherds. Filled to the brim with shepherds. Filled to the brim with people who love the beloved. With people who love to love the beloved. With people who desire to be used by God as shepherds. And as I have been preaching on this theme of a new resurrection, of a resurrection of this congregation, of a new life, of a butterfly emerging from the cocoon and taking wing, I believe that a part of that is the recognition and the desire and the discipline and the willingness to stay when the hired hand flees on the part of all of us to care for those that God has made, to shepherd them. And I'm not sure that we know quite how to do that. I'm pretty sure I don't know how to tell you how to do it. And so I believe that that is something we are going to have to discover together. I'm willing to read, I'm willing to travel, I'm willing to pray, and I'm willing to listen to learn what it is that that's about. But I don't know yet how it is that we do that. And I'm not sure that the church knows how it is that we do that, the church more broadly. But in a world where revenge is the first response to any offense, there needs to be a body of believers who look to how Jesus would respond to offense, rather than to how the enemy responds to offense. And I believe that we as a body of Christ need to begin to take the call on us very seriously. Not because the preacher is up there hectoring us to do that, but because we recognize that God desires something from us, that He calls us to something higher and better and beyond what it is that we have known. And we desire to respond to His voice and to follow where He leads, knowing that even as parts of it may be through rocky places with enemies gathered around, that the Good Shepherd, the Shepherd over all of us, Jesus, knows that place that he leads us to and knows how to protect us as he leads us there. And so my prayer for myself and for all of us is that we listen to that call and we respond to it with our whole hearts, with our whole selves. And I believe that we will find a pasture, a reward, a destination that we have not even been able to imagine. That God's plans for us are greater than we could ask or imagine. But for us, to that call, we must say, "Yes, Lord, here I am. Don't just send me, but lead me there, and I will follow." May that be the prayer of our hearts every morning when we wake up. In Jesus' name.